this morning and next week. We will have the children with us throughout the service. I have prepared the message to speak directly with them. So if any of the children would like to come forward, you might need to move those books off that. Tyler, you can stay one row back if you would like. Felicity, if you'd like to come up. I'm not sure if, okay, Joshua, you can stay seated here if you want. Thank you, because I will be asking you some questions, so you can help me work through. Yes, Ian, thank you, Ian. great. Timothy, right? Great. On Sunday mornings, we've been studying about Jesus in the Gospel of John. For the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the evening in the life of Jesus just before he was captured and crucified. Now, did Jesus know that he was going to be crucified? Yes. How do we know that? Excuse me? It's written in the Bible. He knew the Old Testament, so yes, he knew from Isaiah 53, for example, that he would have to suffer. But we're also told in the Gospels that he had been telling his disciples about halfway through his ministry, when they finally realized who he was, he began telling them, I'm going to have to go, and I'll be turned over to the Gentiles, and I'll be crucified, and in 3 days I'll be raised again from the dead. John even begins this section. You weren't with us when we did this, but he begins this section saying it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. So these words that Jesus is talking about in John chapter 13, 14, 15, 16, his prayer in chapter 17, all on this one evening, he had in mind, I'm going to be crucified and I'm leaving. He would leave them very soon as he went to die, and he would leave them again even after his resurrection to go back to be with his Father in heaven. Now, do you think Jesus knew what he wanted to tell the disciples on this night? Do you think he had in his mind already? Maybe. Adults, what do you think? Yes. In fact, for those of you who have been here the last couple of weeks, he seemed even to wait until Judas had left to speak to those who were truly followers of him. In the middle of chapter 13, it says, when Judas had gone, then Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified. He had in mind what he wanted to tell his disciples. He knew he was going, and this was a special evening. Now, at the start, after Judas left, Jesus appears to focus on three topics. And we talked about that together the last time you were with us in the service. Sometimes the disciples would ask questions, and Jesus gets off the topic a bit. He's distracted. I'm sure that happens sometimes with your parents. You're trying to tell you something, and you ask a question, and you know they have to come back to it. In chapter 13, John tells us that Jesus told his disciples that his purpose was to glorify God. He said that those that he would be leaving them, and he said that those who truly follow him are to love one another as he loved them. And that's what we talked about the last time. And he would come back to these topics and say more about them during the evening. And at that point, the disciples began asking questions. Where are you going? Why can't we come? How can we know the way? And what we heard last night, when we were in Sunday school last week, we heard, what is God really like? And he answered them and then assured them that a proper relationship to him would result in great things in their lives. And so Jesus summarizes to them in the verses we had this morning, what that proper relationship, a proper relationship to Jesus would look like. And he explained to them what their part would look like And then he explained to them what God's part would look like. And he'll come back to these later on in the chapters as he talks with them that evening. But the major points are introduced here. And we're only going to look at one of them today. We'll look at some of the others next week. Some of you won't be here next week, I don't think. No, you guys won't be here? Jesus said in verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." I prefer that a little bit better through the translation that we normally use. And Jesus is going to repeat this in different ways in these next 9 verses. In verse 21, he says, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." In verse 24, "Whoever does not love me does not keep my words." And so there are 3 concepts here that every time he states this, he repeats. So we're going to need to understand all 3 of these words or concepts each time. Each verse talks about loving Jesus. He mentions his commands, his word, or his words. And he tells his disciples they will have and keep them if they truly love him. Now the easiest is this first one, the commands, word, or words. What are the commandments of Jesus? Can you help me with that? What are the commandments of Jesus? Adults, what are the commandments of Jesus? I mean, here's a primary statement of Jesus. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. What are the commandments of Jesus? Okay, one of them, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, now you guys were here a couple weeks ago. What was the command he gave on that? But you might even know it. What was the command he gave them on that evening? "A new commandment I give you." We talked about it. Took a whole sermon to talk about that. What was it? Adults, gotta help them out. Good, thank you. Love one as I have loved you. Now, there's some differences with that from the general command to love your neighbor as yourself. What might be the words of Jesus? He said, if you keep my words, you love me. If you love me, you will keep my words. Or my word, NIV has my teaching. So that's a little bit broader than just commands. We need to understand word as much more than formal teaching as well. Now you go to school and your teacher teaches things. And you think, well, this is what I'm supposed to learn. Do you ever learn anything else in school beside what your teacher teaches you? Probably as much, if not more, than what your teacher teaches you. Did you know that? Have you ever learned any bad words at school? Did your teacher teach them to you? You learned them somewhere else, didn't you? By something else that somebody else said and someone else did. I've told the story of a missionary in Africa I knew that he would preach occasionally, but I wasn't there. He was there helping in the ministry with a printing ministry, and all the young men who worked under him, when they learned how to preach, they always started the preaching like this. What are they doing that for? Well, this man, because he worked in the print shop, always had ink on his fingers and he never touched his pants. And when he wanted to pull his pants up, he used the sides of his hands. And all these young men who were learning how to preach thought, that's what you're supposed to do. You go like this when you start preaching. No, they learned by what he did. And that's the word of the full teaching that he's teaching, the word, everything about Jesus, the way he acted, the way he talked with children, the way he rebuked people who were sinning, the way he dealt with sinners who other people didn't like. He accepted them. That's what we are to learn from Jesus. That's his teaching. Not just the things, do this, do that, but follow me. Be like I am. Now the words or word of Jesus limit it to the things we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John? Is it just those red things, words that you find in some Bibles? Is that all of Jesus' words? No. Good. Why? Why do we know that? Adults, need to help them out. Why do we know it's more than just the red letters and more than just the Gospels? Much more could be written. Good. On this evening, in fact, he tells them, he's going to give them the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's going to tell them more about his teaching. Even after this. Not just what he told them when he was on earth. And then when Luke, he wasn't even one of the disciples at the time, when Luke writes Acts, he starts out, well, I wrote my gospel about the things that Jesus started to do and to teach. And the implication is now I'm going to tell you some more things that Jesus taught. In fact, the whole Word of God, Jesus is God. If this is the Word of God, this whole thing is Jesus' Word. It's all of the Bible. So if you love me, you will keep my word, my words, my commandments. He's saying you'll follow what's in the Bible. Now the next one is one we probably think we understand, but might not. Jesus said that if you love me. Now did the disciples think they loved Jesus? Yeah, I think so. How do we know that? I ask tough questions sometimes. The whys are always the toughest. And you kids should know that because you're always asking why. Parents, do they ask you why a lot? That's the most oft-asked question I think we get from as parents from our children. Probably do the same thing. You need to stay home. Why? Well, you have to do your homework. Why? Well, why do we know that the disciples thought they loved Jesus? Adults? Well, there's one very easy. After the resurrection, Jesus asked Peter a question. What was it? Do you love me? Peter said, well, yes, Lord. Three times he asked him, do you love me? And he said, yes, Lord, I love you. You know that I love you. So we know that the disciples thought, Jesus, we love you. In fact, they said, we've left our homes and everything for you. They considered Jesus to be more important than their jobs and their families. And they said, well, yeah, we love you. Once there was a rich man that came to Jesus, a young man. He might have even had an important position. One of the Gospels calls him a ruler. And he asked Jesus, good master, what should I do to receive eternal life? And Jesus answered the man, asked him if he knew and kept the commandments. Do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and your mother. That's quoting from Luke, from Mark's Gospel, chapter 10. And do you know what the man answered? What do you think he answered? Do you know that story? What did he answer? I know the story, but I don't know the answer. Okay. What did he answer? I've kept all these. Then Jesus told him that there was still one thing for him to do. Sell all that you have, give it to the poor, and then Jesus said, follow me. And do you know what the man did? No? Well, kids, do you know what the man did? Excuse me? He didn't follow him. That's right. He went away, says he was sad, and left him. He didn't follow Jesus. Why? Why didn't he follow Jesus? Right, because he had to give up all his belongings. And it says he had many possessions. And his possessions were more important to him than Jesus. He did not love Jesus. Jesus was not that important. What's more important? All the things I have are being with Jesus. My things. So I wouldn't follow Jesus. To love Jesus is to consider him more important than anything, more important than any person, anything that we have in our life. And we think, well, Jesus is important to me. Well, how do I know if Jesus is really the most important person, the really most important thing in my life? Well, that's what Jesus is telling them. Is if you love me, then you will keep my commandments, keep my words, keep my word. That's how we could know. Well, do I really love Jesus? Well, how do we act? So let's look what it means to have and keep the commandments and word of Jesus. Translation, which we usually use in our services, has in verse 21, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. Other translations have whoever has my commands and keeps them. Now, I think the idea of putting in obey is probably good because it's not the idea of, well, I throw my Bible away or I keep my Bible. Keep is much more than that. It includes, as a basic idea, obeying. But just obeying isn't enough either. In that sense, keep is a good idea. And having them is also more than just possessing them. I mean, how many of you have a Bible? Well, you all have a Bible at home. Okay, so you have the word, you possess the words of Jesus because you own a Bible. But I don't think that's what Jesus is saying. Yes, you possess, you own a Bible at home. But have your parents ever given you instructions and then say, have you got it? I want you to go home and go in your room and look for the book that you've lost or that you have to take to school. Now, have you got it? Meaning, have you understood the instructions I've given you? We use have in the same sense of understanding. And I think Jesus means you have received my commands and you have an understanding of it. And then the word keep means to accept it, to obey it, and to guard it. Now, some of the English speakers here, native English speakers, will know this word. Do you know what a keepsake is? Well, a keepsake in English is something you hold on to. You keep for memory's sake, or it's the same. Well, you hold on to, you guard it. To keep is to guard something, to protect it. We don't want to lose it or forget it. Now, what dangers, if we're supposed to guard the Word of God, what dangers might exist to the words of Jesus for each of us personally? How can you guard the words of Jesus? Are there any dangers? You're sitting up front, Valerie. Are there dangers for the Word of God in Morocco? Yes. People might take the Word of God, steal it, physically steal it, take it away from you. So there's a sense in which even physically we want to have the Bible. Do people ever try to change what the Bible says? Yeah. That happens a lot. People don't really like what it says, so they try to twist it. And if we're going to guard it, we're going to say, no, this is what it means. You can't change it to something else. This is what it means. Others make the Bible out to be unimportant. And a keepsake, something you keep, say, well, this is important. I'm going to put it in a special box and maybe I'll lock it. I'm going to protect it. Well, we want to make sure that we hold the Bible to be important. We keep His word and commandments when we guard them like a treasure. So we know it's important to love Jesus. Is it important to love Jesus? Yeah. We know that. And now Jesus has given us a way to understand if we do love Him. If we accept and obey and guard what he has said, then we show what's really in us that we love him. Now, we've already talked about some of the commands that Jesus has given us. Love God, love our neighbors as ourselves, love one another as he has loved us. Can you give me some other commands or words of Jesus that we're supposed to do? Well, remember we said this is the word of Jesus. So you've got a lot to choose from. What's something else that God has said, I want you to do? The Ten Commandments. Very good. In fact, I just had read some of those that Jesus asked this young man who came to him. Do not lie. Do not steal. Do not murder. So I've never murdered anybody. And Jesus said, well, if you hate someone in your heart, it's like murdering them. Ooh. So if we love Jesus, and we want to know that if we really love Jesus, we start looking at our life, and he said, I don't want you to lie. If we lie, well, I don't love Jesus that much, do I? If I said, no, I want to tell the truth because Jesus has said I shouldn't lie. Then we're saying, well, yeah, I do love Jesus. Look, I'm doing what pleases him. How do you show that you love your parents? You obey them. Right? When they ask you to do something, you obey them. It doesn't even have to be your parents, but when someone said, oh, that really bothers me, would you stop doing that? I don't know, might be playing ball, hitting a ball up against the wall, and they just hear this thump, 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 and they're trying to work, and you're just going thump, thump, and they say, would you stop doing that? That's bothering me. Now you have a choice. You can say, sure, I'll stop. And they go, well, I'm having fun. Thump, thump. How do you show whether you love that person? You stop. You got it. That's the point. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll do what I say. You'll keep my commandments. That's how we know, and we can judge if we truly love Jesus by how we act. Now, we don't become children of God by doing what Jesus says, not the commandments. We don't become a child of God and say, well, okay, I got the Ten Commandments. If I don't steal, I don't lie, I don't murder, if I don't know, then I'll be right with God. Well, that doesn't make us right with God. That's not what he's saying. He starts out with, if you love me, if you have this relationship with me, then this is what you'll do. And he's giving us a check to look. Well, I work back. This is what I'm doing. This is showing what's in my heart. John has started out right from the beginning, and we find this throughout this gospel, that it says, as many as believe in him, to them he has given the power or authority to become children of God. We become his children by believing in Jesus, accepting who he is and what he's done for us. And then we have that relationship, and we'll find out what else it means next week. For those of you who are here, if you're not, go back and read that passage and ask your parents what it says. And they'll help you think through the things in John 14 that from God's side, he gives us his Spirit. His Spirit helps us. There's a lot of things that come from God's side that said, if you love me, if we have this relationship, this is what God's going to do. And so to check, have I really believed in Jesus? Well, yeah, I know all the stories. I've come to Sunday school. I know that Jesus came down from heaven and became a baby and he grew up and he died on the cross. But do I really believe? Am I really his disciple? Jesus says, if you really want to know, just look at your life. If you love me, if you have this relationship, you'll do what I say. You'll follow me. You'll want to do what I say. Now, there are times we're not going to. If I were to ask how many of you still sin, I would expect to see every hand up. So I'm not going to ask because I know what you're supposed to do. But we don't want to sin. That's the change. We don't want to sin, and God gives us the strength and power to stop sinning. We're now able not to sin. So if we love Jesus, we will keep His word. Then we know that we are the children of God. We are His true disciples as we follow Him. And we'll see later all that God gives us to help us with that as well. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, I thank You that Your grace is abundant. And we're not just left wondering if we have a right relationship with You through Christ. We can know if we love Jesus by the way we act, because You come in and You change our hearts. You take out the heart of stone and replace it with a heart of flesh, one that's living and soft and wants to do what You say. Father, I pray that we would really learn what it means on a daily basis to love Jesus fully, to desire to do what He says, and to grow in knowing Him and loving Him. We thank You for that and ask these things in His name. Amen.